35. Dongle. As the train pulled out of the Gare du Nord, past rain-streaked concrete and intricate calligraphies of spray paint, she gave Milgram the Air's white charger and two other white cables whose purpose she'd never been sure of. Then she cleaned out what little email she had, copying it to the USB drive on her key ring, shaped like an actual key, purchased in the West Hollywood Staples when she began her book. She changed the machine's name to Milgram's Mac, wrote its password on a slip of paper for him, and loaned him the USB modem that Inchmail had talked her into signing up for the month before. She didn't know how to remove her email account, but she hadn't given him the password for that, and she could get it sorted in London. His delight in the gift had a direct and childlike simplicity that saddened her. She suspected he'd not been given a gift in a long time. She'd have to remember to get the dongle back, though, or she'd be paying for his cellular time. She watched as he sank instantly into whatever it was that he did on the net, like a stone into water. He was elsewhere, the way people were before their screens, his expression that of someone piloting something, looking into a middle distance that had nothing to do with geography. She sat back, staring at French vegetation hurtling past, punctuated by a dark staccato of power poles. Big End wanted her to go straight to cabinet. That was good. She needed to see Heidi, needed Heidi to get her over the hump, get her to phone Gareth's emergency number. And if phoning produced no result, she'd do what Milgram suggested. Cut a deal with Big End. Big End drove a hard bargain. She couldn't imagine what she might have that he most wanted, but she didn't want to find out. And Gareth, she was fairly certain, would be unhappy to have Big End aware of him. She'd never told anyone anything at all about Gareth, other than Heidi, and now Milgram. What Gareth and the old man did, insofar as she understood it, was just too peculiarly up Big End's alley, she'd always thought. It seemed a bad idea, putting Big End and Gareth together in any way, and she hoped she could avoid it. She looked over at Milgram, lost in whatever he was doing. Whatever he was, she found she trusted him. He seemed peeled, somehow, transparent, strangely free of underlying motive, seemed used as well. Big End had created him, or would feel that he had cobbled him up from whatever wreckage he'd initially presented. That was what Big End did, she thought, putting her head back and closing her eyes. She supposed it was what he was doing with her as well, or would, if he could. She was asleep before they reached the tunnel.